You and I have been sitting in hell for 4 years. Waiting for Has-Been Hotel to start, but how did it hold up? I brought Mr. Penfo, redeemed Instagram degenerate, to help us decide.
5 years we've been waiting for this. Oh my God.
We've waited a long time. We both watched the pilot. I've spoke to Kennedy, the sound designer. I've had Angel Dust's original voice actor, Michael Kovacs, on the fucking show. So we've been in the ecosystem for a while of Has-Been Hotel.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I have enjoyed the first season.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I felt a little low at first when it started. And I think we both had this.
Yes. The start of it, this first episode felt just a bit weird.
It did, yeah. And this is something we discussed. It's like a soft reboot of the pilot.
It is.
Not doing it again.
Because it also, it doesn't, there's no episode where it introduces you to the characters or to the world.
No.
It's like, it's expecting you to, you have to watch the pilot.
Yeah.
And you know, like that's, and I think that's completely reasonable because the pilot would have been out for 5 years.
It had.
It's got like 5 million views, something like that.
You are way off.
I'm like 9.4.
Mate, you are so off. It's got 98 million.
98?
98 million.
Right, well, at that point, it's your problem that you've not seen the pilot. Yeah, it didn't feel like it was being made for new people. It's made for the fans. It's made for the people that have waited.
And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely made for the people who wanted it to be made.
Because I think if they made an episode where it was like, oh, let's just basically redo the pilot, it would have rushed the story too much. And granted, I think the story was a little rushed.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of other people do feel
it. It felt a bit fast in some parts. Yeah. But all in all, if I could go overall for the entire show, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
Some parts, but overall, it's definitely my top 10.
The lowest rated episode is the first episode.
That makes sense.
7.5. The highest rated episode is the last one, which is only 0.2 over episode 4. Which is most people's favorite.
Now, episode 4. Oh,
episode 4, bro.
Poison. Cause I know you're poison. You're feeding me poison. Addicted to this feeling. I can't help but swallow. Loser baby.
Yeah.
Loser baby. A loser. Goddamn baby. You're a...
An episode focusing on Angel Dust.
Fucked up little whiny bitch. Hey. You're a loser just like me.
Thanks, asshole.
Dust.
Loser Baby is an outstanding song.
Do you know what I've been doing, like on my entire journey here? Listening to the entire soundtrack.
Really?
On repeat.
Well, this is what I like. Very nice.
I mean, whilst the show was airing, oh my God, no. Okay, so.
Come on, Gosh, you're allowed.
When the first 4 episodes dropped, and I decided I'm going to watch them and I'm going to really enjoy them. Wink, wink. I spent 16 hours in the living room of my uni house watching the show on repeat. 4 episodes for 16 hours. I've been waiting 5 years. Mm-hmm. Let me waste time for once. Let me really just fucking do nothing. And
it is the first time that I have like anticipated a TV show in a while and been like, right, this Friday night, I'm going to get in bed. And I'm gonna chill out.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put that on.
I feel like that's how you're supposed to watch. That's how you're supposed to watch the show. You have to like, we've been waiting 5 years.
Mm.
Do you think we're gonna watch one episode per night? No.
No.
I'm not. I skipped a class to watch the last 2 episodes. When like a high school teacher say like, oh, that shit won't fly in uni. Yes, it does.
It does, yeah.
It flies high and it flies far.
So I wanna know what you think the TV show has done well.
What
has it done well?
Right, first of all, music.
Music's outstanding.
Oh my.
Top tier.
So, I mean, first of all, the music is the main thing they had to nail.
Yeah.
Because that's what got a lot of people, it got me into it.
Yeah, yeah, same. I mean, there was the, what was the original Angel Dust song called?
Addicted.
Addicted, that was-
Addict, Addict.
Addict, that was class. Like, I actually really, really like that.
The song that got me originally into the entire thing, Inside of Every Demon is a Rainbow. That just popped up on my Spotify randomly.
Really?
Yeah, because at the time I was listening to a lot of musicals.
Okay.
And then like my Discover Weekly.
Musical fan.
I love a good musical. Yeah. My Spotify Weekly, it would like.
Jethro the Whiskey. Fucking love a musical. You know what I mean? Yeah.
My Discover Weekly, I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And I was like, oh, this goes hard.
Yeah, this goes way hard, yeah.
And then, you know, I went and watched the pilot. I was like, this goes harder.
Yeah. There's nothing that I think has had such a big hype around it for so long. Like a lot of things, the hype would slip, basically.
Well, I feel like a good example of something that's had hype for a long time, Cyberpunk.
Yeah, yeah. But then that didn't necessarily stick the landing.
No, it didn't.
It's hard to stick the landing.
I had to write an essay on Cyberpunk.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I wrote an essay on Cyberpunk and Cyberpunk Edgerunners and how multimedia properties can save a failed one.
Cyberpunk edging.
Cyberpunk edging! And like, yeah, I learned like a lot about like why it initially failed. Mm-hmm. It was just stuff to do with like, obviously.
It was the producers, wasn't it?
Not really, because like at the time they were also making The Witcher 3 and they were making the DLCs for it.
Oh, I see.
And you know, obviously they can't put like too many people on Cyberpunk whilst they're making The Witcher, which is already like a banger success. From what I've read and from what I've gained from my, like the knowledge I've found, right? I may not be 100% correct, but I'm at least correctish. There's like third party studios that just like weren't handling the tasks they were given.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. I didn't know it was like handed out to third party.
Yeah, like things like, you know, like little things, you know, that like the big boys ain't rocks. Gonna do. Yeah.
People hate making rocks. I know that from game designers. They hate making rocks because they have to make them in every game.
And then there was stuff like
sorry.
And then obviously the game was in development for 11 years.
I know.
So like, I mean, that's going from the PS3 to the PS4 to the PS5. And it's trying to constantly play catch up. Like,
yeah, to catch up with the system.
You know, I'll never talk shit about the developers for doing that. Like, I've seen people, I know people on game design courses.
Yeah.
You know, like having to do it where you have to keep jumping for the next console. It's fucking hard.
Man. Yeah, yeah, it really is. I don't envy people now having to make games for so many different, because it's not even just that. It's not even just making it for, you know, PlayStation 3, 4, and 5. Yeah. It's also the Xbox 360, the Xbox One, the Xbox One X,
PC.
Xbox Series S, PC, Switch. It'll never come to Switch, I'm sure, but.
Do you know what studio I will talk shit about?
What?
Rocksteady. I know. Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Arkham City. Great. Arkham Origins. Debatable. I mean, I didn't really like it compared to the other ones, right?
I'm completely blind on this. Like, I haven't played any of the Arkham games.
I've not
played them, no. I'm not...
Game podcast, not even played the most popular Batman games ever.
I'm not fan of Batman.
Okay, so basically, Rocksteady, known for making brilliant Batman games, they just came out with a new game, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Yes.
Awful.
Really?
Awful.
After how much I felt like it was getting overhyped.
Do you remember the Marvel's Avengers game that came
out? Yeah.
It's that, but DC, and it's terrible. Suicide Squad wouldn't have been too bad if they said it didn't take place after Arkham 9.
Oh, it's in the same so it's the same game universe, right? I didn't realise that. Yeah, because I always thought that Arkham Knight series looked a lot darker and
that's great.
Moody.
It is, because it's Batman.
It's Batman.
It's dark, it's grey, it's gritty, and it really just...
Everybody talks like this.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, the animation just...
Not worth it.
Wasn't that good. But speaking of animation, you know what has great animation? Hasbin Hotel. I like it from an animation perspective. I think it's good for what it is, and it's not trying to be this over-the-top, really great animation all the time. You can clearly tell where the time really went.
Yeah.
Like in the action sequences and the music.
There's moments where it suddenly gets
really good.
Yeah, like,
and
really
then like, and then it just like... But between that, like at the start, before it gets good, and the end, where it gets good, the animation is just like characters standing around and like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's obviously the heavy influences from stuff like Invader Zim. Like there's even a moment where Lucifer is working on a duck.
Yes.
He's working on a duck. And when he turns around, it's literally the scene of Professor Membrane. Going, I'm making toast.
I did not know.
And he literally goes, a duck. Like it's the same shot. Like it's framing's identical, really. I'll put them on screen now so you can see them for any YouTube views. Yeah, and I like that. I do love that. I think they got the best production studio they could in A24.
Yeah, I was not expecting
animation. Everything they do is really good. They did The Green Knight, we were talking about before.
I think they did Saltburn.
I think they did. I think you're right. If it's a weird film that looks beautiful and is arty, it's A24. Who was your original favourite character from the pilot?
Angel Dust.
And who is your favourite character now?
Angel Dust.
Still?
It's not changed.
That's great. That's great, though. In the same way with Stolas from Hell of a Boss.
Yes.
At first, I was like, I'm not sure if I like the voice change. But I was like, cool.
I was a bit iffy on Millie's voice change.
Yes.
Then I got used to it and I was just like, this is way better.
That was a very dramatic change.
Very big change.
You know, she went from, I can't remember what her voice was before, but she's a lot more heavy, like southern accent, like Louisiana, kind of like South Dakota.
It's one of my favorite accents.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I think Angel Dust's voice is great as it is. There's moments where the voice slips out a little bit.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There's some times where it just, but all in all, you know, like 98% of the time, it's fine. But like 2%, like, I feel like at that point where like if you're trying to find something bad in the show, you're gonna find it and you're just gonna make it sound like, oh, the voices aren't right and like fuck off.
Yeah, no, the voices are great. Like I actually really like them all. Particularly I like
Alistair's voices.
Alistair's is great. Also great.
Fox.
Keith David as Oscar is wonderful. Keith David has one of the best voices out there in the world.
I mean, it really is just like his normal voice.
It's just his voice. Yeah, if you played Halo 2, he's the Arbiter.
Princess and the Frog, he's the... Oh, you're red.
The Voodoo Man. If you watch Coraline, he's the cat.
Oh, yeah. If you watch Rick and Morty, he's the president.
Damn, that was going to be my next one. I don't have anything else. Oh, if you watch The Thing, he's the guy who's like...
Mac wants the flamethrower.
Mac wants the what?
That's what he said, now move!
I like Keith David, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people were like being like, oh, he just doesn't sing that well compared to Princess and the Frog. And I'm just like, piss off.
His song was...
Lose a Baby was brilliant.
It was fucking wonderful.
I think like his voice really fits Husk.
Yeah, it does. And that was one where I wasn't sure at first because I thought the original Husk voice had a, well, he had a really husky voice. It was very like gravelly almost.
I went back and listened to it. Like I saw a clip of it and I listened to it. I was like, I don't like it. Yeah. Like no hate on the original voice actor. Mm-hmm. I just think Keith David fits it a lot better now.
In terms of Alistair, like you said then, like you think that was great. I think Alistair's voice is really, really good. It's almost subtle enough of a change that you can't really notice the difference.
Yeah, I didn't really notice too much of a difference.
No, it's more in the sound design that I noticed the difference. Yeah. So he's not as like crackly, there aren't as many like sound effects, that kind of thing.
I think when it comes to Hell of a Boss and Hazbin Hotel, mm-hmm. we've got to look at them. One's now being made by a studio.
Yeah,
and one's more like self-made, self-like published, like freelancers and stuff like that, group project.
But there is something really, really nice about Hell of a Boss that you can feel that. It feels like a community-led project.
And there's a real, like, there's a different vibe to it.
This is going to sound bad. It feels old. And I don't mean old as in a way that, like, outdated. I mean, in the way that, like, old, like, Johnny Bravo, Courage the Cowardly Dog, Invader Zim, it feels like...
It's got that retro type of vibe.
It does. And, like, that, I think that just comes from the time you have to put into it as a small studio going onto YouTube.
Also, like, it's the, obviously, a lot of people that grew up, like, who are making it, they're millennials, they like, this is like influences for them.
Yeah, of course it is.
But I think it works really well.
Oh, right, hang on, I've got a note here that I wanted to bring up.
Go on.
Serpentius.
Oh my God, my boy, my precious bean, I love him so much.
I was like, obviously, I'm gonna mark this with spoilers at the start of the episode, so we're just gonna talk about it outright.
Yeah.
I love his character, what they did with it. Best character arcs through the whole show.
Oh my God, yeah.
He had his hero moment that just got completely fucking dashed.
Yeah.
When he got killed, I mean, was really sad. I was like, that's how they're gonna kill him.
Yeah.
And then I've literally got on my notes here, Serpentius. Oh my God, he's in heaven!
Yeah, that whole like, the whole scene where like he's like he sees Adam, he's like, I've got to do, and then he just kisses Cherry Bomb, and then he's just like, my little egg boys, and they're just instantly wiped out.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, and I was almost annoyed from. And that's how
I was on the verge of tears.
Yeah, that's how I knew that moment was impactful. That it actually got to me on an emotional level. That I was like, I'm annoyed that's how he died.
What I think is so great about that moment, is how impactful it is, and how not impactful.
Yes, it's just, he's dead.
It's instant.
Adam literally just goes boom and just kills
him. That's the problem.
Yeah, because Adam's the first man, obviously, Adam and Eve kind of thing.
Unpopular opinion about Adam. I don't think a lot of how he is his fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it because he's been held as a standard as the first man?
Yeah, I think it's because
getting deep.
Think about this, right? You're the first person created by God.
Mm.
You're supposed to be the perfect male, like, human ever. You're like, your ego is getting boosted for like thousands of years.
Yeah.
You're gonna turn out to be a dickhead.
So it's a nurture thing.
And I also think it's like the whole thing of like, if he's supposed to be the perfect human, why doesn't he have things like humility and empathy?
Humility.
Yeah.
Humility.
Humility.
He's not damp enough.
That word I'm trying to say, like that empathy, you know, why can't he keep his own ego in check? Why can't he be more like responsible? Like why, if he's supposed to be so great and supposed to represent all of humanity, why is he such a dick?
Because to error is human.
I also think it's just like, in reality, we're pretty shit. Like, humans, we're pretty shitty.
We suck, yeah, we do. No, I do agree on a level. Maybe he wasn't as bad to begin with, and he just got worse as it went.
Maybe. How would you feel if both your wives left you?
I mean, yeah.
I'd feel pretty shitty.
So I only made that connection before that. So did Lilith leave him?
I think it was like Lilith just didn't fucking like him.
I mean, that's fair. He's a bit of a douche. He was one of those bad guy characters like Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
You can't insult me! where it's like fun to hate him.
I'm telling mother.
I feel like, you know, if you're going to make Adam this absolute asshole, you've got to make Eve as bad to represent how bad even either side of humanity is. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why they were tempted by the apple, I suppose, because they weren't perfect people. If they were perfect, then they wouldn't have been tempted. I was surprised at the end that we saw Lilith. I didn't know when they were going to bring her into it. And at that point, I'd actually forgotten about the character.
So there's a theory. Mm. There's a theory that that's not actually Lilith.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Or it is. Because basically, there's this thing with like, oh, she always wears pearls, apparently. I'm rambling about like what I remember.
Yeah, okay.
But like, apparently the theory is, oh, that's not Lilith because she's not wearing like the right necklace or something.
Oh, right.
And like the colors aren't correct. And that maybe like, oh, okay. Lilith and Eve have swapped places.
Oh, well,
because we haven't seen Eve yet.
No, no, that would be a nice twist. That would be very, very cool.
But
okay. Yeah, because there's quite a underlying story going. We still know nothing about where Alistair was.
No.
He seems like he's made a deal with someone.
He's definitely made a deal with Lilith.
Is Alistair trying to be God? Serious question, how do you kill God?
I saw this thing where I was like explaining like what is Alistair's deal, and he seems to be more like an opportunity psychopath, where like if he sees an opportunity where he can have where he can be on the winning side,
yeah,
he's gonna take it.
So do you think he?
That's why I think like he's
an opportunity, and it was the wrong thing to do.
Maybe I think like he saw this like, oh, this is it. This is like how I'm gonna really get up there.
Yeah,
and then it backfired horribly.
Yeah,
and that's why now like he's. I think that's why he's so close to like being with Charlie and wanting to do the hotel and like really keep her by his side. Because I remember in like the song where she was rallying the cannibals, when he was talking to Rosie or like the main cannibal leader, they were like,
character, by the way.
Oh my God, Brit on the voice as well.
Yeah, yeah, really good.
When they were talking, it was like, something like, oh, she's doing her best. She's gonna do the quest. Something like, and they were like, oh, she'll pass the test and stick with her and like, you'll be on the winning side. And I think it's just like, he just wants to make sure he's never like the victim of anything. Like he's never gonna lose. Cause I can't remember the main lore, but apparently like, Alistair used to be like a cannibal psychopath killer when he was human. Mm-hmm. And then one day when he was in the woods, he got shot by a hunter who thought he was a deer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the whole thing. He never wants to feel like prey again. So like he is going after the big boys. He's like sticking close to people who've got real power.
Okay. Good theory. There actually is a moment in the pilot, and I don't know if you remember this, when he arrives at the hotel right at the start and they just first let him in. Mm. He wanders over to the painting on the wall of Lucifer, Charlie and Lilith.
Mm.
And he looks over at Lilith and then the radio start goes zzz.
Oh.
And it's only when he looks at her and smiles and then it just cuts away and it's not mentioned. I've not seen anyone talk about this in forums or in the comments underneath any of the videos. So I'm wondering what that is.
I think the theory is like Lilith like owns his soul.
Yeah, it could be that.
Because I think, you know, for someone to have, because the whole thing of like, remember when,
oh my God, has he made a deal that he can be in charge there if he looks after Charlie?
I think was the thing was like
him to look after Charlie.
Well, remember in episode five, where Lucifer comes to the hotel, and then like they do the whole song like Hell's Greatest Dad, which great number.
There's only actually one song in it that I'm not a big fan of, and it was the arms dealer lady's song in like, is it Have Some Respect?
That song is so good.
I didn't like that one.
Oh my God.
Why?
It's not my favorite, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
But in episode five, where Lucifer comes to the hotel, do their song, and then whatever that little tiny lady's called, she brings the mobsters.
Oh, I don't even know her name.
She's like, Alistair, honey.
Yeah, Alistair, honey, yeah.
Basically, when like she arrived and then Husk went to follow Alistair, Lucifer and Charlie and Faggy, he was like, hey, boss. you know she's bad trouble, and he's like, don't worry about it, Husk, I can handle this. And he was like, don't treat me like a pet. Husk was like, at least I'm not the only one on a fucking leash.
Yes.
That triggered him.
Yeah,
he's definitely on a leash. Cause like, I mean, like, what? Like, if he wasn't, why would he get so mad at that?
Yeah, he's got to be. And I actually think it being Lilith might be the one. I hadn't considered that.
Realistically, Alistair isn't that powerful.
Big words.
He's not. I don't look in power ranking, right? There's Alistair, there's Adam, there's Charlie, and there's Lucifer, and then there's maybe like Lilith and the like God and all them, right? But Alistair's not that powerful compared to like the people above him.
No, I was surprised that Adam beat him.
I really wasn't. Mm. I thought, you know, Adam's got power. Like,
So do you have any predictions for what we're going to see next season.
Season two. Mm. Hopefully, the little egg boys went to heaven.
Yes.
I swear to God, if they didn't, oh my God.
Yeah.
They better. Mm-hmm. So Pentius is going to probably return in the first episode or two.
Okay.
I think the first episode, it's going to be Heaven completely freaking out. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck? Why is there a sinner here? How did he get here? What are the actual rules?
Yeah.
And I saw a video that was explaining this, and I'll talk about it in a sec. It's going to be Lucifer and everyone, sort of at that new hotel. And I think the hotel is going to be, like, packed. It's going to be busy.
Yeah, straight
like,
away.
People are going to be there, like, oh, let's, like, you know, like, the cannibals, like, they'll be like, oh, Charlie, let us eat angels. Let's, you know, maybe give redemption a little try. Some might try it, some won't. We're going to see Lucifer a lot more. I think he's going to stick around for the entire season.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I think in the second episode, this is where Sir Pentius is going to, like, return.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's going to interact with the Seraphim. You know, is it Sarah and... What's the younger one?
I don't know. She was like Emmy.
She was like Charlie's like opposite, basically. Yeah. They did a little song together in one of the
Her name's like Emily or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Sir Pentius will return early in the second season.
Okay.
Well, because it's such a big thing. Like it proves that it works, so they've gotta bring him back early.
I think Lilith is gonna stay at the hotel.
Yeah, Lilith is definitely
like as she's gonna turn up. With a suitcase as a guest.
Yeah.
Probably Lucifer's probably going to open the door.
Yeah. Lucifer will probably just work the front desk because he's hi, my people, how are you? Yes, it's me, your king. Oh, yeah, one sec. And then he gets up and he's like, shit.
Yeah, my ex-wife.
My ex-wife.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be any crossover between Hellboss and Hasbro Hotel?
No.
I think it's going to be always completely separate.
I think it's going to be separate and it's good that it's separate.
Yeah, I think I prefer it that way.
I am fully sick of... cinematic universes.
Yeah.
So sick of them. Yep. And yeah, like they're different vibes, they're completely different stories. Like I would like to see a crossover. I would like maybe like
In the background.
Yeah, just like them in the background, like they're at the Pride Ring or something, or like they go down to the other Wrath Rings and like that would be fun. Yeah. Maybe like half of an episode they interact just for shits and giggles.
I think there's something, the last thing I think I struggled with in this series is knowing where places are.
Mm.
I feel like I don't know the layout. I know obviously it's the pentagram.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know the layout of hell.
Well, so it's like
world building.
It's like layers.
Yeah.
So like we've got the Wrath Ring at the very bottom. That's where all the imps are.
Yeah.
There's greed, lust, envy. And there's like the Pride Ring. That's where like human souls go. And that's the top ring. And that's where like the execution always goes.
Right. Okay. So I want to see more world building of that.
I think we get that. That's what Hell of a Boss is.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It feels more like you get the world building in Hell of a Boss.
Yeah.
But because there isn't a crossover, it still feels like a different...
Yeah.
Like I don't know. This related. What's that?
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
Well, remember, like, in the last episode where, like, Charlie, like, started falling, like, and, like, there was, like, this really big opening shot of, like, there was a crack in the ground.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, fuck, is she going to fall to, like, the other layers of hell? And, like, is that where, like, the season ends and, like, is it going to pick up with, like, her trying to get back?
Get back up.
That would have been interesting, but also, like, nah, it would have just... It would have just wasted time on the episode.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing, like... Fuck it, like Lucifer can just swoop in. He's like, he's literally that guy.
So from going from these wonderful series,
yeah,
what would you like to recommend people to watch next after finishing Hasbro Hotel?
Pull on my list.
I have one first that I'd like to recommend that was recommended to me this week by the wonderful Harry Clare.
Well, first of all, Hell of a Boss.
Yeah.
Go watch Hell of a Boss. Brilliant show.
You totally just barreled over what I was about to say.
Well,
I was just about to give a recommendation. You were just like, well, first of all.
Well, I feel like, okay, if we're going to give recommendations, right, let's get the most obvious one out of the way.
All right.
Because.
Yeah, Hell of a Boss is the first one. Yeah. Second one from the wonderful Harry Clare is Blue Eyed Samurai on Netflix.
Oh, I've not.
Very, very good. Holy shit, didn't expect it. It's about a Westerner brought up in a Japanese village.
Yeah.
Whose parents was like a Western merchant, basically like an arms dealer.
Yeah.
And anyone who is a half-breed there at that point during the samurai times is obviously ousted, probably killed. The only person who takes her in is a blind blacksmith because he doesn't know.
Mm.
And she learns to make swords, she becomes a samurai, and then all the people that she interacts with growing up who come into the village and basically do bad things, she ends up hunting them down when she grows up and becomes a samurai.
Oh.
I've binged like five episodes.
I'll have to look into it.
It's violent. It's got adult content. There's swearing. There's boobs. All sorts. Yeah. It's a guy who makes noodles who's got no hands.
Oh.
Yeah. Really original characters. And it's just funny. I just like it. It's, yeah. So thank you, Harry, for recommending. What's your next?
So I feel like one that if you want to stick with adult animation, adult themes, and really good character development, yeah. BoJack Horseman.
Oh yeah,
brilliant series. I've watched it maybe like 3 times.
Yeah, the cartoon doesn't deserve to have that much real emotion in it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did not expect it.
I mean, some of the lines from it.
Oh yeah.
My god, quotes you can just fucking quote all the time.
Yeah, none of which I remember right now.
I think one of the.
Oh, am I a bad person? Tell me.
Oh, that is a good one. Netflix has a history of cancelling.
Do you know what? They make like 3 series of a show and you get invested and then they just fucking cancel it and use it as a tax write-off.
Inside Job.
Inside Job.
Brilliant. 2 seasons. Fucking, brilliant.
What was the
cancelled?
What about the zombie with Drew Barrymore? The Santa Clarita Diet.
That's a good, I like that.
Such a good show. Timothy Olyphant in that is amazing. Mm. Like, I absolutely love him in that show. What else? Final Space. From YouTuber Olan Rogers. A great show.
It's on my list.
Yeah,
it was on my list of things.
Let's talk about that then.
Next. Right, let's, first of all, Final Space, yeah, brilliant show. Yeah. When it got cancelled, he was struggling to get the rights back. He got the rights back. He's making a graphic comic of it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Nice one, Olan.
So I am looking forward to that. I'll be buying that.
Yeah, same. I absolutely love that show. We actually have a moon cake at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an actual moon cake.
Oh, what's a... I feel like... Like, sticking, like, let's go with, like, good animation where, like, it obviously inspired and, like, a lot of things were drawn from with, like, story and characters. Yeah. A show you shouldn't sleep on, Gravity Falls.
I've just started that.
Brilliant.
I started that myself.
Brilliant series.
Very, very good show. I'm in, like, episode 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the gnomes. The gnomes one was funny.
The gnomes.
The gnomes. So, like, yeah. Might be in the first episode, actually, saying that. In a similar vein, I'd say Adventure Time.
I was also going to say Adventure Time.
Adventure Time.
I mean, first season... Doesn't matter. Skip it. It really doesn't matter.
No. You mean that show you can sort of dip in and out.
Yeah.
Never really.
But when you get into season 2, it's like we've got the Lich, we've got the war, the elementals, the vampires.
It's a lot that goes on in that show where if you stand, as a kid, you probably wouldn't really notice it, but watching it as an adult, you're kind of like, wow, this is kind of
dumb. I mean, the whole relationship between Finn and Fire Princess.
Yeah, yeah. Too hard to touch.
That was like that was a lot for a kids show.
Yeah, it was.
I was thinking something in a similar vein. Steven Universe. You know?
I've watched only a little bit of that.
I think Steven Universe is a much harder show to get into.
Mm.
It's just a bit meh, like weird in some ways.
Yeah, it seemed.
Season 1 is definitely like where it's just like it's just awful.
Yeah.
But like then at the end of season 1, where like. We start talking about the gem war and all this lying and manipulation that went on and like all that. And like it starts going into like these really dark, heavy themes, like literally like genocide in a kid's show. And it's just like, we went from, I'm Steven Universe. I like ice cream cake. I'm Steven Universe. I just fought in an intergalactic war against my own family. Like it's a big jump for 6 seasons.
Yeah. No, that sounds it. Yeah. I do want to carry on watching through it. It's just finding the time to watch.
Yeah.
I'm finding myself now more so gay. We spoke about social media addiction before.
Yes.
I've been finding that since I use TikTok for a job and Instagram reels and stuff, I find it much harder to get into long form content.
That is a whole other like podcast episode right there.
I think maybe we'll come back to that.
I think, yeah.
But yeah, so I've been struggling to get into shows is basically what I'm saying. Hasbin Hotel has been one I've really got into.
Yeah.
The Blue Eyed Samurai is the other one that's actually finally got me watching things. So I'm going to start moving into these other shows now.
From a show I've started watching.
Yes.
Simpsons. Like really? The old episodes, though.
I started as well.
Oh,
I don't know why.
The old classic episodes, you know, they're so different. They're so unique and interesting compared to like the newer ones where they're just, it's the same thing with Family Guy.
Yeah.
And American Dad, the older episodes are always better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe like season 3, 4, where it's found its feet.
Yeah.
That's where the comedy's there, the animation there, the story's all there.
But it hasn't got too typical of its format yet.
Yes.
Any others?
I've got a huge...
Oh my God, that list.
Yeah, I've got a huge list of... Like so many recommendations. So like, you know, I'll just hold my phone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just going to list them all off, right?
Okay.
And when you find one that sounds interesting, you just say stop and I'll talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Hell of a Boss, BoJack Horseman, Gravity Falls, Final Space... Steven Universe. I've put Final Space twice.
Okay. Great.
Invader Zim, The Owl House.
Stop. Invader Zim.
Okay, let's go on Invader Zim.
Invader Zim is pretty much the artistic inspiration, at least, for Hell of a Boss.
Yes.
One of them, I'll say.
Obviously. It seems like, because the body types.
Yeah, the way the characters are designed looks very similar.
And also, the guy that voices Moxie's the voice of Zim.
Zim. Richard Horvitz. Someone I'm working to get on the show. Richard, I'm coming for you.
I mean,
that show.
Yo, let me know.
I will
let me know.
Gotta be there. That show was on Nickelodeon at probably 5 a.m. when I was growing up. growing up because it was so weird. I don't think they wanted kids to watch it.
I mean, there was that one episode where he just steals organs.
Yeah, The Dark Harvest. I remember it.
I mean, I wasn't at the right age. When I was like, when he was watching that, I was watching like old fucking Power Rangers and SpongeBob.
Me and my dad and my brother, we remember seeing the advert for SpongeBob and being like, we're sitting down on Friday at 5:30 when the first episode comes out.
Wow.
Watching this. Yeah. And we watched it when it first aired. Yeah. But Invader Zim is like, if you like unusual content, you like something that's a bit
weird humor.
It's very funny, like that Dark Harvest episode that Mr. Pentham just mentioned. Still using that name as opposed to your real name for now. There is a moment in there where he goes to the school nurse. Do you remember that? And the nurse is like, "Oh, such a healthy young boy, and such plentiful organs." Like such weird jokes.
The only real interaction I have with Invader Zim is when Netflix released that like Invader Zim movie. That's really the only content of Invader Zim I've actually fully seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should watch the rest of the series.
I've definitely got to sit down and watch
him. I've got a full-size girl at home with a dog suit you can put him in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it from Traveling Man in New York or something. Oh. Like some random. It's like a collectible, but we took it out of the box because we wanted it.
So, we've got Invader Zim. So, The Owl House, Satina. So, let me talk about Satina real quick.
I haven't heard of that.
Satina is... It's a Hell of a Boss type situation. It's a Hell's Button Hotel and Hell of a Boss situation. It was a person's animation project.
Okay.
It blew up. Mm-hmm. People were loving it. And now they're working on like an actual series.
Brilliant. Okay, that's nice when that happens.
It is about the ruler of hell, the queen.
Yeah.
And basically this guy she banged, I don't know what the actual story is, but they have a child together.
Right.
And the dude's just like human.
Oh, okay.
And like, he's just got like this little demon daughter.
Wait, I might have seen something about this.
Am I talking about the right show? Well, the thing I'm talking about, it's really good.
Yeah. No, I have seen it. No, wasn't it like a little comic-y thing?
It's like a YouTube animation.
Yes, no, I have seen it. I have seen it.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it is good. It is good. Speaking of the YouTube ones, I've got one called Big Top Burger. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Like the guy who owns it, he's a clown. The
clown guy.
Is that a customer I see? Hello, little boy.
Me?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so season 2 just dropped to that, and they've basically just...
Oh, it's a show?
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was a full-on show.
It's like 3 or 4 minute episodes.
What a wonderful little boy.
And then he's put them together into like a 20 minute episode.
Yeah.
That's like season 1, season 2.
Yeah, okay. Here we get into the more like anime stuff.
Okay.
We've got Blood Lad, Panty and Stocking, Aggressive Retzko. Go on.
Panty and Stocking.
Panty and Stocking.
Sum it up for me in 3 words. That isn't Panty and Stocking.
Porn violence comedy.
Okay, so is it a hentai thing?
No.
No, but it's got sexual themes.
It's like, yeah, it's like really sexual. What would be a show compare it to? Hasbin Hotel.
Okay, so that level of... Okay.
Like that level of sexual jokes and innuendos, Solo Leveling, Jobless Reincarnation, Lackadaisy, Cliffside. Cliffside I'm actually going to quickly talk about.
Go for it, yeah.
Cliffside was a pilot episode that didn't go anywhere. It's about like this Western like cowboy type thing.
Okay.
Right. And there's like a spider lady. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've seen it. Oh, Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Okay.
Now that is a show I think after you've watched Hasbin Hotel, I think you should pick up Scooby-Doo for the fact of the Mystery Incorporated series.
Is that a newer one?
It's newish but old.
Okay, right.
What? It's like Scooby-Doo you've never seen before.
Okay. Such a good line. It's Scooby-Doo, but you've never seen it before.
It's like episodic. It's not episodic where like the episode before or after it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
This one has like overarching stories.
Serial.
Yeah, serial. Yeah. I recommend that. Mystery Incorporated. One of the best Scooby-Doo series you'll ever see.
Sick. Okay. Yeah.
Miles better than Velma. It'll wash that taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, I've heard bad things about
it. I hate watched it. But yeah, Mystery Incorporated, one of the best Scooby-Doo shows I've ever seen. There is one that is being made right now, a live-action version of Scooby-Doo, created by fans.
Oh, wow, right, okay.
Yeah, the first episode is out. I think it's just called Mystery Inc. or Mystery Incorporated as well. And it's not like, there's no like CGI dog either. It's like just a proper greyhound.
A real dog.
Yeah.
Greyhound. Great Dane.
Great Dane.
Great Dane, yeah. I think he's great. Yeah, he's a Great Dane.
It's a big dog.
He's a big dog.
I hope it gets picked up at least. I hope Warner Bros. Like picks it up so like we get like an actual show.
That'd be sick.
Getting a proper Scooby-Doo where it's more adult and realistic, I think that's, you know, that's what we need.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, Mr. Pitbull.
Wait. If I can recommend a few things.
Go.
Go watch Castlevania, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. If you like the music of Hazbin Hotel, listen to the Hell of a Boss music, Beetlejuice, Heathers, Starbomb, Something Rotten, School of Rock, The Book of Mormon, Dear Evan Hansen, and some content creators that make some really good covers of like those songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Caleb Hayes, the Chalk Eaters, they make like, I recommend, they make some good songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Anna Pantsu and Tom Cardi.
Say goodbye. Where can they find you on the social media?
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, but I'll never post on there ever again. And my name is Mr. Penfub, and I have been looking forward to this for a while, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Glenn, thank you so much for coming on.
It's
been a long time coming.
Thank you for having me on.
You can find me at Haswild everywhere, the podcast at Great Burrito, absolutely everywhere, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Brilliant. Little man. Wonderful.